This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Happening this week is the Art Expo Malaysia 2014 at Martrade. It starts from Thursday till Sunday. Participating in this expo is Bernardes Huang Art Gallery, which offers works of art from Spain. Of course, this is the country that birthed Goya, El Greco, Diego de Velázquez, Picasso, Dali and Miro. And to share with us what kind of Spanish art is being displayed at this exposition are Abigail Wong and Benjamin Ng, co-founders of the gallery. Welcome to the show. So what led to the bringing of works of contemporary Spanish artists to, you know, this part of the world, our side of the lake, so to speak?
Hi, Lynn. Thanks so much for having us. That's a good question. And I think part of it stems from the fact that you see a lot of art, and Asia is a place where you've got strong local artists. But in terms of access to European art, which can be a very daunting market to a lot of people, we realised that there weren't that many galleries specialising in that sort of art, and particularly Spanish art. And part of it has to do with the fact that Spain is a country in which English is spoken, I suppose, as a business language, but artists generally speak Catalan and Spanish. And I think going there and going to a gallery to purchase a piece of art when you are here and you're Malaysian, it's a sort of process that I think many people find difficult and in some cases possibly insurmountable. So what we are trying to do here is to bridge the gap between Spain, which has a legacy of excellent art, and of course Malaysian and Asian collectors.
Did you find that there was a lot of pre-existing demand for Spanish art here in Malaysia? I mean, you described that sort of insurmountable process, and I think many people can identify with that. But did you find that there were a lot of people, you know, here on our shores thinking, gosh, I really want to own something, you know, or I really want to participate in that market?
Well, for us, it's our first time showing in Malaysia, so we're quite excited about it being the fact that we're Malaysians. But so far, we've had quite a lot of customers from Malaysia who have visited us at art fairs abroad or in our gallery in Singapore. So I think that has given us a very good idea of the type of collectors that they are in Malaysia, what type of art that they enjoy. And through our interactions with them, that has informed us in our curation process for the Art Expo Malaysia. And of course, being Malaysians ourselves, we do have quite a good idea of what the people would like. So we're trying to bring a little bit of that to Malaysia for our first show here.
Yeah, and I think generally speaking, art is one of those things where there are a lot of cases where people don't consciously think of Spanish art or even European art, and then they see it and they think, oh, you know what, I think I'd like to have one piece. So it's been this sort of organic process for a lot of collectors actually who come to us.
So, based on your experience then, how much do art buyers from this side of the world know about Spanish art? I mean, aside from the difficulties in procuring it, do they come to you with an existing idea of what they'd like or an existing set of knowledge?
No, it's the other way around, actually. I mean, you've got all sorts of collectors, so it's not very easy to make a generalized statement. But if I could just sort of pin it down, it would be that they are very interested in collecting European art, Spanish art as well, being a subset of European art. And they are very, and they've got this interest, but a lot of it has to do with wanting more understanding before they actually collect or make the purchase. And what we do is, sort of, like I said, bridge this process by giving them all the information they need, telling them about the artist, how this artist developed, and assist them in sort of making a decision, really.
So I think it's a process that a lot of our clients enjoy. Most of the time, they are not setting out to look for a particular style to collect, but rather most of them are either looking for investment, for example, or they're looking for a particular painting for their home or their office. And they will start shopping around by visiting galleries, speaking to friends that they know who collect. And it's a very enjoyable process. And after a while, most of them say that they enjoy it so much that it just begins a whole process of collecting. And a lot of them fall in love with it. They start traveling for art fairs. They start ordering their vacations around art events abroad. It's really the journey that makes it very interesting. And of course, having the art on your walls and in your home is, of course, a very beautiful reminder of all those experiences that you've had.
And, you know, earlier I mentioned some Spanish greats, and we're familiar with these names. You know, I think even the most art blind person would be familiar with Salvador Dali, for example. But in terms of Spanish art, where is it now? We have this tradition or this idea of tradition with, you know, cubism with Picasso and surrealism with Dali and Miro. Is that something that's being followed through, or is modern Spanish art, you know, somewhere entirely different?
I think art, as an art form, obviously evolves from time to time. So, but I think there's a lot of respect for the masters, from Diego Velázquez all the way to say Joan Miró. And now you start to see Spanish artists make their own mark internationally. For example, Jaume Plensa is a sculptor whose works are now monuments in countries all around the world. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to say he was...
Fits into any particular category.
Exactly, or directly influenced by one specific artist. I think a lot of them gather from their experiences and put it into their work.
It sort of forms the collective consciousness for art and culture in Spain, and a lot of them are just very inspired by the environment that they lived in and all the works that all these the great artists have done. It just forms the collective voice, and it continues to inspire generations of artists to come. Yeah.
And that's from the perspective of the artist. From the perspective of prospective buyers or of art enthusiasts, I suppose, do we also see that same thing? Do people come with a very set idea of what Spanish art is meant to be? Do they want to see bulls? Do they want to see plazas? You know, is it different?
They do. I mean, not all of them do.
I think most of them expect colour.
Yes, colour is one thing.
Vibrant colour.
You see a lot in Spanish art. I mean, you've got your sort of outliers who go very minimalistic, but generally, you want to see colour in Spanish art, the passion and
vibrancy. Passion, so, bold colours.
So, but in terms of what they expect, yes, I've had people ask me, oh, where are your bullfighters? Where are the plazas?
Where are your flamenco dancers?
Yes. So they do, and it's only when they are exposed to sort of this broader concept of Spanish art and how... It's not like, you know, you see a flamenco dancer there for Spanish art and vice versa. And once they're exposed to that, I think they grow in terms of their knowledge and in terms of their understanding. And like she said, like Abigail said just now, it's a process, one which all the collectors I know are very happy to embark on, because you just learn more about things as you go along.
You mentioned that idea of, you know, colours and passion and vibrancy. Are those real hallmarks of Spanish art? You know, you talked about having to guide people through to a certain extent the idea of what Spanish art is. Does that often, do those words often come into play?
I think when I think of Spanish art, it's for me, it's the juxtaposition of light and darkness, because Spain, due to its climate, has really, really beautiful sunny days more or less throughout the year. And light is very important for artists because it informs them on how to compose their paintings, what kind of colour they would like to apply, and it just gives you an entirely different perspective.
It makes your world look different.
Yes, it makes the world look different, and because of that, it makes the art look different.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that really comes across when you look at a piece of art that's been done by the Spanish artist. It really comes across that sense of... it's like a real breath of fresh air that comes through because of how bold the colours are, because of how the light is contrasted against the darkness.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, it's notoriously difficult to paint. You even in a room, you dim the lights a little bit, things look different. You turn it up a little bit, lights look different. And I think a lot of the Spanish artists we know are very grounded in their understanding. So they are at heart trained as very classical painters who understand how to manipulate light and shadow to create the shapes and colours and effect they want. And from this understanding comes basically their mastery of colours.
And what did the greats leave behind for contemporary artists to build on? What have you seen as, you know, development of those themes, if at all?
For me, I see it as... I think it's given our artists a tremendous form of confidence to be part of this great lineage of artists that has you know, that world have enjoyed. And with confidence, you get great works. And great works are great for collectors and just great for everyone all around.
Yeah, I think the legacy of Spanish art, you tell people that Picasso is Spanish and they're like, wow, he was actually Spanish.
Well, Picasso would probably say he was Catalan.
Yeah. Okay.
A proud Catalan, yes.
Yes.
But people, the problem, I guess, in a sense with Spanish art is that people don't know that greats like Picasso, Dali, Miro are all actually Spanish. And like Abigail pointed out, the legacy, the strength of this, the fact that these names are household names, you know, people actually realizing that they are Spanish, has given our artists a lot of foundation, a lot of ground to work with. Because who was it that said, I stand only on the shoulders of others. My success is gained by standing on the shoulders of others. And I think our artists are very clear and very humble when they say that that applies to them directly as well, that they have become who they are because of the past.
And I think what's really unique about Spanish art, especially for newer collectors or people who are less familiar with the works, is actually it gives a very unique perspective on an interpretation of the world. And that is something very beautiful to explore, like to see a tree or to see a landscape interpreted so differently from how you would imagine it and how you would see it is something that I think appeals to everyone.
I'm speaking today to Abigail Wong and Benjamin Ng, co-founders of Bernardas Huang Art Gallery. They are offering works of art from Spain at the Art Expo Malaysia 2014 at Martrade. Coming up, we continue our conversation about Spanish art, looking at some of the influences that inform contemporary Spanish artists on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. With me today, Abigail Wong and Benjamin Ng, co-founders of Bernardas Huang Art Gallery, here to talk about the Spanish art that will be on display at the Art Expo Malaysia 2014 at Martrade. So we've kind of established some of the basic ground, you know, grounds around Spanish arts, especially in terms of the classics. Now, turning our eye instead to the contemporary Spanish artists, who will be the people that you'll be representing. What are some of the influences that inform contemporary Spanish artists, aside from their sense of place?
Right. I think we are bringing about 5 to 6 artists this time around, and it would be hard to actually pigeonhole them basically into any. They come from such different backgrounds, and their styles are. And I think this is perfectly natural. Their styles are informed by their upbringing and their training. So we've got, for example, Monica Dixon, who's this excellent painter who was brought up in... her mum's Spanish, her dad's American, and she was brought up in the States before moving back to Spain when she was 18. And many people look at her landscapes and think, wow, this is so American. This must be an American painter. No, she's not. She's Spanish. She identifies as Spanish. And basically, as a person, she's as Spanish as it gets. But her paintings, what comes out of her, her soul, basically, that she bears on the canvas, is very much American in nature. And you can juxtapose that with another artist, say, one of our sculptors, Marta Morio. And she, who's a very learned woman, she's very inspired by mythology, Greek and Roman mythology in particular. So you get pieces that are very beautiful and that are very inspired by classical sculptures. And to say that both of them are Spanish artists is true, but in a certain sense, it's hard to say that they are in many ways or in any ways similar.
So in what ways then are Spanish artists different from, for example, Asian artists or American artists, since you brought up that idea of American art? And I think American art in and of itself, you've got this sort of, you know, Norman Rockwell type idea of what American art is, I suppose. But then again, that's just me, right? If you asked me what American art is, that would be my first name. But I suppose for the next person, it might be something completely different. Are there ways in which you can distinguish a Spanish artist from an artist working in Malaysia?
I mean, to be completely honest, I think you can tell. I think there's a division when it comes to, say, Asian art and European art, and I think that's fairly clear in terms
often
of the...
Often that's due to subject.
Subject, medium use.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see rice paper and Chinese things, then you know it's
Asian in origin.
Yeah.
Calligraphy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So in that sense, you can, but in the end, an artist is an artist, and regardless of where he comes from, I think art is very universal in nature, and artists do try to make their works universal. So at the end of the day, I would say that in terms of subject and medium and very sort of superficial things, you'd be able to tell, say, a European artist from an Asian artist. It's a lot harder to tell a European artist whether he's from France or Spain or England, because the differences become minimized significantly. It becomes even more difficult, I guess, when you try to compare region to region and that sort of thing. And in the end, it's because art is so universal, and because it is the soul of a person, it's very hard to say that, you know, if you come from country X, you therefore must paint the way everyone in country X paints.
And in a very globalized world, it's people are having more and more similar experiences.
Yeah, that's true. It's
so
traveling,
and
even the internet.
Yeah. Well, of course, the internet is a great equalizer.
Yeah.
But we've seen a lot of Asian works that, if you were not informed, you would imagine that they could be American works.
Yeah.
Or we've seen American works or European works that you would think are Asian because they are so Asian inspired. So,
yeah,
ultimately, art is very personal because inspiration is personal, and what you would devote your time to put down in canvas or in paper ultimately is a very personal decision for someone.
Looking at, having taken a look at some of the artists, they're very diverse. I mean, there were a lot of different...
We tried to curate a very diverse selection.
Yeah. So is there any... How would you describe the breadth of works that you've brought in then? You know, if... I suppose it must be hard to characterize or pigeonhole, yeah. But yeah, how would you describe some of the artists that you're bringing in?
I think we are quite lucky because our partner Jordi, who lives in Spain, has a lot of experience, over 20 years of experience in the European art market. And as a result of that, even though Barnadas Huang is quite young, we have a very strong roster of artists, over 40 artists that we work with in Singapore. We've chosen to bring 6 or 7 artists to Malaysia this time. But the thread that binds them together is we try to keep our works fresh. We try to keep them edgy because we want to challenge the viewer. But more importantly, we also try to keep them very relevant because the whole point of art is so that people are able to make a connection, to be able to relate to each other. And for us, that's very important.
Yeah, I guess on a just very sort of superficial level, we don't really carry abstract artists. So we bring in hyper-realists, and we bring in realists. And so I guess in the sense of work, it's very grounded in reality. You don't see, I don't know, sort of abstract pieces.
Some surreal pieces.
Surreal, but, yeah. but not abstract.
But not abstract, yeah.
You mentioned edgy, Abigail. So how avant-garde are these works? And do you find that avant-garde art has a place in the Malaysian landscape, in the Malaysian buying marketplace?
Well, yes, I think collectors in Malaysia are very sophisticated. And in fact, the Art Expo Malaysia is in its 8th year this year. And we hear, for example, sculptures are very, very popular in Malaysia. And that's something that, from our experience, is not for a first-time collector. When you start collecting art, usually you look into drawings or paintings. And after you have sort of filled up your entire collection with paintings, then only people move on to sculptures. And we are bringing three sculptors,
Mori and Pontiku.
Yeah, to Malaysia this time.
Yeah, that's right, I guess. In terms of the how avant-garde something is, you've got like sort of not avant-garde at all and super avant-garde. and I think we try very hard to hit the sweet spot. So you don't get, say,
a seed
in a pail floating, you know, there's something of performance art which is super avant-garde. So we try to stay in the sweet spot, even though we try to challenge people, but we try to stay in their sweet spot as well.
And, you know, Spain is interesting because, as mentioned, you know, you have this idea of bullfighting and flamenco and guitars and siesta, but you also, on the flip side, in, you know, the modern Spanish context, you also have you know, economic downturn. Yes. You also have just a lot of different things that have that make up one's idea of modern Spain. In what ways do these artists capture the mood in Spain, or is that really not the aim here?
I think the mood always sort of creeps into your work subconsciously. If you live in a downturn, it's going to affect you. And when it affects you, it's going to make its way into your painting one way or another. So I think in a very simple way, that's how these things are. But you're right. Right now, Spain is having a little bit of, you know, the Catalonia wants to secede.
Secede, yes. So not a new thing, though.
Not a new thing. Many years in the making. So I think in that sense, so you've got your Spanish artists and you've got your Catalan artists, some of whom refuse to be identified as Spanish, for example. But in the end...
we've seen a lot of them who have incorporated the Catalan flag into their
yes,
works.
Yes, that's right.
Precisely because of how vocal their support is for the independence
section,
movement, yeah.
Yeah, so in that sense, you do see what's happening around these artists sort of seep into their work, some ways more obvious than others.
But just in general, a lot of them have had, because of the Spanish economy and as a result, the Spanish art market, a lot of these artists are essentially looking outwards and looking east, perhaps, or because they are looking for different markets. Yeah,
you've mentioned two sculptors. You know, one painter. Yeah. Who else are you bringing to showcase at the art expo, which opens tomorrow at Martrade?
Well, we are bringing, a bunch of artists. Two sculptors: Marta Moriu, who does the mythological ones; Ponticu, who does trees and birds, who sculpts trees and birds. We are bringing Didier Lorenzo, who's actually flying in to Singapore next month for his solo exhibition, which ties in with our gallery anniversary. He's quite sought after, actually. We've done very well with him in Hong Kong, in Singapore. And right now, we are looking at introducing him to Malaysia. We are also bringing Jordi Pinto, who's very colourful and whose works have entered some very important
collections and museums.
Monica Dixon, for example, is also very well known. And her works are incredibly hard to get. I mean, we've got waiting lists for her pieces because they are huge. And
because of her technique and how long it takes to execute works of that size.
Yeah.
Using
with such precision. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think those are the key highlights that we'll be bringing over.
As gallery owners, you know, how do you look and tap into the trends and buying sensibilities of the people that you meet here?
How do we tap into it? I think... in a certain sense, it's a bit dangerous to try to second-guess the market. Like, I think you like this, therefore I bring in this. What we do is to pick works that we think are strong, that works that we think will appeal to anyone. And because art is so universal, that's actually possible. So we start with how good the artist is and how good their works are. We bring it to a market and we are informed through conversations with prospective buyers. And I think that's how we slowly tailor our approach. And I think that's the right way to do it with incremental steps. Otherwise, you'd be in a position where you try to cater to the... I can't tell this strange artist, you know, draw, say, peach blossoms. It just doesn't work.
Oh, we don't do that. We basically let them have free reign over what they do because art It should be what the artist wants to do. And if... It's something that
they're not a factory. They're not a factory to paint what you want.
It's not a factory. I can't say I want 10 paintings, 100 by 100. Give me some palm trees, some women in flamenco dresses, a few bullfighters. Yeah.
All in the So.
Or some yellow Barcelona taxis.
Yeah. we take the we take the lead from the artists.
Yeah, because ultimately, what goes to the viewer or the collector should be an unfiltered view of what the artist is seeing, and that's very important.
And also, you mentioned earlier that sculptures tend to be perhaps not a last resort, certainly, but something like it's not art 101, you know, it's maybe art 301 after you've bought your drawings and your paintings. Do you find that there is a market for sculptures here in Malaysia?
Well, that's our understanding, that that's a very strong market for sculptures in Malaysia. We will find out over the weekend.
Well, Malaysians have got, you see quite large houses here. If you've got a large enough house, you'll be able to put in a large enough sculpture.
But what we understand, and from a very practical note, is that Malaysians like to buy sculptures at the Art Expo in Malaysia, precisely because the galleries would have incurred the cost
shipping
in terms
charges
of freight, insurance, and more importantly, the risk of securing the artwork in pristine condition to Malaysia, and they would be able to save on all those very, very high freight costs to bring the artworks to Malaysia.
And on that very rational note, I suppose. You know, we've talked about art, but to talk about the business of art, I think, is slightly trickier. How do you, in terms of the people buying art here in Malaysia, do you find that a lot of people are buying for love of art, or perhaps more in terms of investment pieces, you know, resale value, commercial value? Is that something that enters the picture very early on?
I think it's quite a mix, actually. You obviously have the two baskets, people who are very investment-driven, people who are buying for the sake of just pure leisure. But at the same time, people who are buying for leisure often also have, at the back of their minds, they are also looking at the artist's CV, his previous track records, auction records, because I think maybe Asians being Asians, resale value and investment value is still something that's quite significant to us. Yeah.
And finally, what message would you like to leave us all with, you know, on the subject of contemporary Spanish art?
I think it's a very exciting territory. It's one that most people are unfamiliar with, and that's only because it's not something that's actually taught in curriculums in school. But and one thing we would invite the viewers, I guess in this case the listeners, would be to just take your time. I mean, click on the internet, explore, read things up. Art is a very universal experience, and I think once you get the hang of it, it's not as daunting as it seems, and you'll realise that somewhere out there, there's a piece you will be able to connect with and which you will be able to bring home one day. So I think that's the real takeaway of it all.
Yes. Well, for me, for us, the other thing is for people to not feel daunted with entering galleries or speaking with people who work in galleries, because, I'll be honest and I'll confess that before we started this business, we always had the impression that art galleries are very daunting. You don't want to really ask about
quiet.
The price.
It's the quiet.
I mean, we on our end make a conscious effort to be engaging and friendly, and we try to soften the gallery experience with some music and information that is, you know, maybe on the walls or that we leave lying around, so that people can who are a bit more shy are able to learn and explore without necessarily speaking to us if they don't want to.
Yeah, we bring warmth to the process. I think that's a very important process, especially for those who don't collect art. It's a very, I mean, in the end, art is an expression of humanity, and it's something that people should be more exposed to instead of being frightened away from. So we try our best not to frighten people.
Bernarda Swang, a gallery in Singapore spearheaded by Malaysians. I've been joined by Abigail Wong and Benjamin Ng, co-founders. It's brought works of art, mainly paintings and sculptures from Spain, to be exhibited at the Art Expo Malaysia 2014 at Martrade. The exposition opens tomorrow and runs through to Sunday. Exhibition doors open at 10:30 a.m. daily. Thank you both so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. I've been speaking to Abigail Wong and Benjamin Ng from Bernarda Swang Art Gallery. We have been discussing contemporary Spanish art on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.